So tonight I'm going to be talking about obedience. Not a very fun topic, but I want to talk about how our obedience to the Lord really matters. Is it okay that I have tons of scripture tonight? Like, so much scripture. The word of God never returns void, so that's good. It's better you hear from the word than just from me. So I'm really excited. We're going to start in 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to read the whole passage. So if you have your app or your physical Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. It'll be on the screen as well, but we're just going to follow along there. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Canaanites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Canaanites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. "I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all the night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a mountain in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. Sorry, I don't know how to say that word. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back to me so that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one that is better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him in chains, and he thought, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Okay, so that was a lot of scripture. But the reason that I wanted to paint that picture for you guys is because it's really, really clear just in that one passage alone how important it is to obey the Lord, right? Obedience is so important. It matters so much to God. And you see time and time again where Samuel's telling Saul, the Lord has rejected you as king. So sometimes we kind of get in the way of like what God has for us when we're not willing to obey. And I think that Saul was a little bit delusional because he said, but I did obey the Lord. I did. And we'll kind of get into all of the points and the details, but I wanted to kind of point those parts of it out. In his mind, he did obey the Lord, but he did not fully obey the Lord. He partially obeyed the Lord. He only obeyed the Lord to the extent that he felt like obeying the Lord. So really, what I had on my heart tonight, and it was funny, I was on the phone with Zach, and Pastor Jack and Shelley were there in the room, and I was like, man, I feel like the devil doesn't want me there tonight. Like, the highway was closed, all these things happened today, and I was so frazzled. But I had been praying all week, and up until yesterday, last night, I had a different message that I was going to preach, and then I kept coming back to this thought of, like, obedience and how God just really, really wants us to be obedient. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to say a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the points of the scripture. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, that you are worthy of our obedience. You are worthy of all that, just all that you are, Lord God. We praise you tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me. It's been a chaotic day. But God, I know that you're in this place and that you want to meet us here tonight. So I pray that your presence would be with me, fill me up, be with each and every one of us tonight, stir our hearts and our spirits so that we may know you on a deeper level tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's kind of go back to why God commanded Saul to destroy the Amalekites in the first place. Well, they harassed and they abused the Israelites. They were really wicked people. And we know that the Israelites were God's chosen people, but the Amalekites were harassing them. I mean, they were raping women, killing children. They were doing all kinds of terrible things. And so they kidnapped women and children. They were very persistent in their sin. They were a threat to God's plan because they were descendants of Esau, who wanted to prevent God's people from having access to the covenant and the promises of God. And God wanted to bring justice to his people. So he commands Saul, kill every single one of them, because he was trying to protect his people, right? And we see on the first point here that Saul feared man more than he feared God. In verse 24, it says, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. So Saul feared man more than he feared God. And Saul kept King Agag kind of as a weapon. So he kept the king of the Amalekites so that he could flaunt it to the other tribes. And honestly, to intimidate his own people, like, look what I did. Look at this guy. I caught this guy. I got this king. He was trying to boost his own ego. He cared more about impressing man than he cared about honoring what God had told him to do. And when we do that, we're in a really dangerous place. We should always, always, always obey God over obeying man or fearing man, because at the end of the day, we're going to be standing face to face with God and giving account for everything that we didn't do and that we did do in his name. And then the second point, God values our obedience. He values the attention that we give to his commands more than our outward offerings. I love whenever Samuel says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." So we see clearly, based off what Samuel the prophet says, it is better to obey the Lord than to try to fool God with your offerings, right? What's funny about that is King Saul thought that by keeping all of those rams and the sheep that he was commanded to kill, "Oh, but God, I'm going to bring them to you as an offering." Duh, like, it's okay. And God was like, "I didn't ask for all that. I asked you to obey me. That's what I care about." But Saul was trying to be sneaky, right? Like, "I'm going to keep all of this good stuff because it benefits me. And then look, Lord, I'm giving it to you." It's like trying to keep a bad relationship that we know we shouldn't be in and being like, "God, will you bless it?" Like, that's not really how God works. He told us to get rid of that thing, right? He called us to get rid of it completely, not to try to deceive him and be like, "But look, Lord, I'm offering it to you." That's not how God works. Then the third point, delayed obedience or partial obedience is still disobedience. Look, I've learned this the hard way in my life. Like, just like Saul was trying to be sneaky, like, "Oh, like, I did obey you, Lord. I did obey you." You know, we see in verses 8 through 9 where he is, you know, keeping all of this stuff. It says, "But Saul and the army spared Agag. They kept the best of the sheep and the cattle. They kept everything that was good. They were unwilling to destroy everything completely. But everything that was weak, they totally destroyed." How convenient, right? And then in verse 20, it says, "But I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission that the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king." And I'm kind of like, who do you think you're fooling? Like, God saw you not completely destroy the things that he told you to destroy. He saw you. Like, why are you trying to lie right now, Saul? Silly Saul. And I laugh when I read it, because I'm like, how many times in my own life have I done that? Where God's like, "Hey, you got to completely cut that thing off. Hey, you got to completely change that." "Oh, God, but like, I did, you know," and we haven't. We haven't fully surrendered that part of our life yet. When we delay on doing exactly what God is commanding us to do, we're kind of like looking for a loophole or waiting for God to change his mind. But verse 29 says, "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie. He does not change his mind. He is not like a human being that he should change his mind." If God's telling you to do something, he's not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, "Just kidding. I changed my mind about that." You don't have to give that up. You don't have to lay down that relationship. You don't got to give up that addiction. You know, he's not going to change his mind. That's not how God operates. He's not the author of confusion. There is only one author of confusion, and his name is Satan. And he wants to make it confusing for us so that we don't stay on the straight and narrow path that God has for us. Psalm 119:60 says, "I will hurry without delay to obey your commands." So we see in the Bible, even in the Psalms, I love that it says without delay. I will hurry. I will be eager, Lord, to obey the commandments that you give me. And I want to live that type of life. I don't know about you guys, but I would love if the Lord said, Savannah, go do that thing. Okay, God, I'm on my way. I can't wait to do it. But usually it's like, I don't know. I don't know, God. I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. Like, give me some more time. I mean, we're all guilty of it. But I love that psalm. I will hurry without delay to obey. Without delay to obey. Y'all repeat that. Without delay to obey. There we go. We're going to be singing that in our heads all week long. And then point four, obedience brings glory to God and demonstrates his holiness. In Numbers 20, I'm going to read from that passage now. Like I said, lots of scripture tonight, but there's a point to it, so follow along. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will drink water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. And then Numbers 27. One day the Lord said to Moses, climb one of the mountains east of the river and look out over the land I have given the people of Israel. After you have seen it, you will die like your brother Aaron, for you both rebelled against my instructions in the wilderness of Zin. When the people of Israel rebelled, you failed to demonstrate my holiness to them at the waters. So in both of these passages here, we see that Moses was disobedient. And this was kind of news to me. I don't think I ever really picked up on this before I was preparing for this. But it's the reason that Moses did not get to enter the promised land. Yeah, like the Israelites were grumbling and complaining and all of that, but we see here, it says, the Lord said to Moses, you did not trust in me. You did not honor me. You will not bring this community into the promised land. Because the original promise was that Moses would lead his people, the Israelites, into the promised land after he rescued them out of Egypt. But instead of speaking to the rock and commanding it to gush water, he did not trust, and I never picked up on that. But he got his staff and he poked at the rock to make it look like he made the rock. He took credit, right? Like he made it look like, oh, look what my staff can do. It's providing water for all of you. But God told him, hey, speak to the rock and then I will provide. But he did not trust the Lord. He did not fully obey. And because of that, he did not get to enter the promised land. Just like Saul did not get to continue being king. And so in both of these passages that we read in Samuel and in Numbers, the passages that directly follow both of those is God picking somebody else to do the job. And when I picked up on that, I was like, yikes. That's a big deal, guys. Because we see in 1 Samuel 16, after Samuel is rebuking Saul, the very next chapter in 16 says David was anointed as king. And then we see here that, in Numbers 27, that God is going to appoint Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. In Numbers 27, it says, your people need someone to lead them into battle, or else they will be like sheep wandering around without a shepherd. The Lord answered, Joshua, son of Nun, can do the job. Place your hands on him to show that he is the one that will take your place. If you aren't willing to do what God is telling you to do, somebody else will do it for you. So it's really important that when God tells us to do something, we do it, because if not, we miss out on the promises that God has. And he'll get somebody else that's willing to say yes to do it for you. That one kind of stings a little bit, right? And so as I was just reading through all of that, I just thought, man, God, I really want us to be a people that obeys without delay so that you don't choose someone else to do the thing that you called me to do. The fourth point is obedience requires faith. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and the builder is God. So Abraham, we know that he was a great man of faith. He's in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews because he had so much faith in the Lord. We talked about that last time I preached in here, about how he was even willing to sacrifice his son because God commanded him to. And then God provided a different sacrifice. He just wanted to see if Abraham would obey. And so we talked a little bit about that. But in this, you know, even in the beginning, he tells Abraham, hey, leave your home, pack your bags, let's go. And Abraham doesn't even know where they're going. But he's like, hey, everyone, wife, kids, uncles, aunts, hey, we're leaving. I don't know where we're going, but God told us to go. I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? Like, sometimes I read about Abraham and I'm like, this guy's got faith. Like, nothing's going to stop this guy, because when God tells him to do something, he just does it. He's like, okay, God, sounds good. I'll be there. Again, he obeyed without delaying. He was in a hurry to obey God. So I always love reading about Abraham, because it really challenges me in my faith. Because we know that God gave him so many promises because of his obedience. And then point five, there is no such thing as belief without obedience. We cannot say that we believe in God and not be willing to obey him. I mean, plain and simple. And then point six, obedience to God always leads to blessings. Kind of like with Abraham, but in Genesis, he promises Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all of these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So, well, that's what the scripture says, guys. I'm not making it up. So we see that because Abraham obeyed the Lord, that he's telling the generations that followed him that they will receive a great inheritance. Which leads to point seven, our obedience or lack thereof impacts the generations that will come after us. That point really hits home for me, because tonight, as I'm standing here preaching, my little brother is in Paris, Texas, as a youth pastor preaching, and my husband, the promised husband that I have, is across the street preaching. And we're all in this promise together, and I'm not taking credit for any of that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that several years ago, I'm not going to reveal my age because my birthday is coming up, and that's embarrassing. Several years ago, the Lord met me at an altar when I was 19 years old, and he radically changed my life. Radically. It was one of those, like, whoa, has to be God moments. And I tell you that because he saved my life, but I didn't have to obey him when he called me to leave my hometown and pack everything that I knew and move to Dallas, Texas, where I knew no one. I did not have to obey, but I did. And because I obeyed, I ended up in a Bible college. And because I ended up in the Bible college, I landed in a job that I did not ever expect to work in. I was working at a chiropractor's office in Cedar Hill, Texas. And when I was working there, I met a man named Russell Dotson. I will talk about this man till I die because he helped change my life. But I met a man named Russell Dotson. And I'm telling you all of this just to paint a picture of obedience, okay? And I was at this chiropractor's office because I had been praying, and I was like, Lord, where do you want me to work? I don't have a degree. I feel that you've called me to stop being a nanny for whatever reason, because I was nannying, and I didn't really know what I was going to do. And I really felt like the Lord was like, hey, it's time to stop nannying and go look for another job. And I was like, well, that's weird, but okay. So I obeyed. I quit my job. And I met a man that went to my church who owned a chiropractor's office. And he was like, hey, I'm hiring a receptionist. So I apply for that job. I get the job. And then while I'm there, I meet Russell Dotson. And he's talking to me, making small talk, like, oh, you know, like, how long have you been in chiropractic school? And I was like, well, I'm not in chiropractic school. I'm just here because it's where the Lord has me. And he was like, tell me what you mean by that. And I was like, I don't know. I prayed about where I should work, and this is where I'm at. And he was like, huh. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? He was like, well, I'm a pastor. Do you want to come preach to my youth kids sometimes? And I was like, okay. Anyways, very random, right? It sounds random, but God was in it. Listen to this. So then we exchange information. He's like, let me send you a date that works. You can come preach to my youth kids. Let's pause. This man does not know anything about me. I could be crazy. I could be like, don't even know how to preach, right? Like, and really I didn't at the time because I had never really preached to anyone. I just knew that the Lord had called me to preach one day. And he was like, hey, why don't you come on this day in December and we'll get you set up with the youth kids. So I go to their church and I preach to their youth students. Well, what would you know? The Holy Spirit would show up and it was great. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, praise God. And so the Holy Spirit showed up. Everything went well. Yeah, that was cool. I was like, wow, God, that was really awesome. And then this is in December. February rolls around. I get a call on a Saturday night. Okay, Saturday night. And it is Pastor Russell Dotson. And he says, hey, Savannah, I know this is last minute, but I have the flu. I've called every pastor in my phone book, and nobody is available tomorrow. Would you want to preach on Sunday morning to my congregation? And I was like, oh my, I've never done that before. And so I'm like sweating. And I was going to tell him no, because why would I do that? Like, it's just me, right? Like, I'm freaking out. And then I heard God say, if you don't do it, I'll get somebody else who will. And I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to do it. So I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he was like, you'll do it? He was just as surprised as I was, okay? He was like, you'll do it? And I was like, I'll do it. And he was like, okay, be there at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. So I get there Sunday morning, and what would you know? The Holy Spirit would show up again. Thank you, Lord. And it was great, okay? The Lord showed up. People got saved. It was good. And then I get a call the next day from Pastor Russell Dotson. Hey, my congregation is so glad that I got the flu because they loved you. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, hey, let's talk. What would it take for you to quit your job and come work for me and be a teaching pastor at my church? Sorry, I didn't mean to get emotional, guys. And I said, well, I need money. I mean, you know, I need to pay my bills. He said, how much do you make? And I told him, and he said, let me talk to my board, and we'll pay you that amount. And you'll come be my teaching pastor, and you'll come sit under me and learn about being a pastor. You'll come sit under my teaching and learn about being a leader. You'll get to write curriculum, and I'll help you to sharpen your gift of preaching. And then what would you know that a few months after that, a man named Zach Routon would be there with Lead Texas, and we would hit it off, you know, because Zach knows how to talk to people. If you've not talked to my husband, he will talk your ear off. And he talked, and he was great, and we hit it off. And that man is my husband, the man of God that was promised to me so many years ago. But do you see the effect of obedience? One door after another. I did not have to come to Dallas. I could have said, no, Lord, that's scary. I don't have money. I don't know anyone. My family is here. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to be there for my brothers? Because my family is not saved, y'all. I didn't want to leave my baby brothers behind. But because of obedience, he got saved because I got saved. And now he's a pastor. Thank you, Lord. And just obedience matters so much to me because I've seen it. I've seen it. It affects the generations that will come after you. Because of obedience, my babies are running around these hallways at church and they're going to know the love of Jesus. Nothing warms my heart more than when my 3-year-old daughter is singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. I'm so, so, so thankful that the Lord saved my life and allowed me to be obedient to him so that he could bless me and show me a life that is full, that is full. And sometimes we miss out on those moments because we're too scared to obey. We're too scared to take that step of faith. We're too scared to quit that job and start that business. We're too scared to do that radical thing that sounds ridiculous to everyone around us. We're too scared because we don't want to get embarrassed. But sometimes God is just like, just do the thing and I will show up. I will meet you there. And even if we get it wrong, guys, guess what? God is so much bigger than our mistakes. Even if we get it all wrong, he is so much bigger than that. We are not so big and mighty that we will mess up God's entire plan for the universe. But it is so important that we obey. So, so important that we obey. And sometimes the obedience looks like making that big life change or taking that job. But sometimes the obedience is just listening to the still small voice and going to pray for the person at Walmart and being spirit-led everywhere that we go because you never know what's on the other side of your obedience. You never know how you are going to impact someone's life through your obedience. Sometimes it's being silent when you want to defend yourself when you've been wronged. Oh, I've been there too, guys. I've been betrayed. I've been backstabbed. People have said things about me that aren't true. You know how hard it is when I want to go, but, let me at him. And God's like, I'm your defender. I am your defender. I will defend you. You don't have to speak. Sometimes that's what obedience looks like. Sometimes it's laying down the relationships, the friendships, the addiction, the thing that we want to cling to so tightly when God has something so much better for us on the other side. And the Word of God says that if we really, really, really love God, we will obey his commandments. If we truly, truly love him, we will obey him. John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commandments. It's in the Word, guys. If you love him, you will obey him. If you love him, you will do what he says when he says. You will not question him. You will walk. You will do the thing that he has called you to do because you love him. And we must obey God rather than men, Acts 5:29. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do we call him Lord and not do what he's telling us to do? How dare us? How dare me? If we're going to call him Lord of our life, we need to obey because he has so much for us on the other side of it. And if you want to know if it's God, you can ask yourself a few things. Does it align with his word? Guys, this is your guide to life. Does it align with his scriptures? Does what he's calling you to do make you uncomfortable? Does it draw you closer to him? Does it require faith? If you're not sure if it's God, you can just ask yourself those few questions. But this right here, guys, if you're not sure, then just go back to this. just go back to what the Word of God says, because this is where you will find all of your answers. This is the most important thing that we can have. This is His breath of life for us. This is the bread of life for us. This is the thing that will lead us and guide us and sustain us when everything around us is shaken. This is the thing that we can come back to. Because sometimes we might get it wrong, but Lord, what does Your Word say? And so tonight, I just want to ask you to search your heart. Are there things that you've not been willing to do that God has been asking of you? Are there things that you have been delaying that He's commanded you to lay down? What is it that you're not doing that God has commanded you to do? So with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want us to go to the Lord together. I want you to take just a minute and ask the Lord to reveal those areas of your life, whether big or small. He knows what it is, so let's go to the Lord together. Oh, Father, thank You so much for Your presence tonight. Thank You, God, that You are with us. Thank You that You are for us, that You are not against us. Thank You, God, that we get the privilege to follow You, to obey Your commandments, to do what You've told us to do, Lord, because we know that You only have the best in mind for us when You're asking us to do something. We know that You only want to use us and show Yourself. You want to show off, God. You want to show us how faithful You are, how much we can trust in You, God. So I pray for every person in this room tonight and everyone who may be listening to this later on the podcast, Lord. I pray, God, that You would help us to search our hearts, Lord. What are those areas that we've been unwilling to listen to You in? What are those areas that we haven't been willing to lay down? When have we feared man more than we have feared You, Lord? Show us, reveal to us, Holy Spirit, right now. Put that thing on our mind, on our heart, and help us to work through that with You, God. Help us to fully obey You, God, not as a religious act, but because we love You, Lord, because we love You. And just like we sing tonight, who else is worthy? Who else is worthy of our love, of our adoration, of the things that we want to give to You, Lord? No one else is worthy, God. So help us to search our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us to be obedient to every command that You give us, and help us to hurry when we do it. Help us to do it without delay, without hesitation, Lord, because we love You, because You are a good God. You are faithful. You are a holy God. You are worthy, Lord. We love You, and we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor tonight, Lord. Help us to obey in all that we do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.